Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate. But it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 442086014555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line. And if you get onto the television with me, please make sure that the volume on your television is down at zero, or no one will understand either of us. You can also SMS the show on 4478008066, or you can email us at comment@presstv.co.uk. Well, it's been another dramatic week. In Burma, the Rohingya people, the Muslim people of Burma, are being massacred, burnt out, attacked by machetes. They are being driven into the sea, literally. They are being turned back by the government of Bangladesh, which claims, with some justification but a good deal of cruelty, this holy month of Ramadan, that they are not in a position to take refugees and are therefore turning them back into the sea. The involvement of Buddhist monks in the massacre of the Rohingya people, Burma's indigenous Muslim people, is of course only one of the most shocking aspects of this. Equally shocking, I'm afraid, has been the virtual silence of the so-called international community. There have been no sessions of the Security Council of the United Nations summoned in order to discuss the mass murder of Muslim people in Burma. Even the iconic democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi, although she has now belatedly spoken out, was, throughout the period of the massacre, absolutely silent. And no word came from little Willie Haig, the British foreign minister, who's forever on his soapbox talking about conflict situations elsewhere. We'll be talking also about the Olympics on the eve of the London Olympics, swarming with 17,000 British soldiers. The East End of London is in virtual lockdown. And the controversial, to say the least, imminent arrival of Prince Nasser, as he calls himself, the son of the so-called King of Bahrain, a man accused of torturing athletes in his own country, and indisputably a part of the killing machine, the torture machine, which is the Bahraini ruling dictatorship, ruling only by the grace of the British in the first place, and the ongoing support of the United States and their neighbor, so-called Saudi Arabia, up until now. I've warned Prince Nasser that if he shows up in London, I'm going to try to arrest him, and many others are too. So my last minute appeal to you, Princey, is don't risk it, because your life's going to be a misery, and we'll have to hunt you down all over London. We'll be talking about the extraordinary decision by the jury in Birmingham to clear the eight men accused of driving their car during August 2011 riots into three Muslim young men in Birmingham who were defending their property, defending their community, who were mown down and cruelly killed. The jury, however, acquitted all eight of the defendants. We'll be asking what that means about British justice. We'll be asking whether the family of some of the slain men were right when they said that the community never let them down, but the British justice system surely did. And we'll be talking about the clashes in the United States of America. In Anaheim, a place I know well, quite a peaceful place, didn't expect to see pepper spray being fired by the police after the killing of an unarmed Latino citizen in an alleyway by a group of Anaheim policemen. This led to riots on the streets in Anaheim, led to the family and parents, siblings of the deceased, piling on the pressure on the authorities in Anaheim for an explanation of how their loved one, whilst unarmed, was cruelly shot to death. The United States, like the United Kingdom, are forever lecturing others on the conduct of their security forces. Seems only right that we at least give an outing to this issue, which has caused mass unrest amongst the Latino population in the United States. It goes without saying that these are my views. They're not necessarily the views of Press TV, and they're certainly not necessarily the views of any government. But they are my views, in which I believe. And moreover, if you have different views, your call, text, or email is especially welcome. Let's take the first call of the evening. It's from David, who's in the United Kingdom, but wants to talk about Burma. David, welcome to the show.
Hello there, George. How are you?
I'm well, sir. Go ahead.
Right, sir. What I would like to say is, first and foremost, the United Nations, the international community, will never, ever come to criticize the leaders of Burma, simply because they want the resources that's been shut off from the rest of the world for the last...
But they've been criticizing the rulers of Burma for the last 25 years, that I recall. Why can't they criticize them on this? They've criticized them on everything else.
The simple reason, George, is because they want the resources, and they're now appeasing the junta that's there ruling Burma. And so, therefore, they don't want to upset them. We will be seeing much more of this on the television over the next months, possibly years, because the Western world will keep completely quiet. It's inevitable. It's going to happen.
But why are these Muslim people being massacred? And why are Buddhist monks? I always thought Buddhists were supposed to be peaceful people. Why are Buddhist monks involved in murdering Muslims in Myanmar?
I think the reason they're having a clean-up campaign before the Western world goes in to take the resources. Possibly these people are living on the land where the resources are, the oils, the diamonds, the gold and the silver.
Well, I can't vouch for that, David, but I'm glad that somebody's come up with a theory. Let's see if any other viewers have a theory which either differs from that or buttresses it. David in the UK, thanks for that. Now, here's our old friend from the good old US of A. It's George, speaking to George.
Yes.
George, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, George, welcome back. We've missed you.
Yeah, you miss me too. I call you as a private citizen, and I want to be respected as a private citizen like you. You look like John Travolta.
Yeah, of course, I'm not a private citizen. I'm a public figure. So are you now. That's because you're on a public television station.
Yeah, but George, you always say in your show, okay, call me, and if you disagree with me, that's even better.
Yeah, like definitely. Yeah, I like a good argument, George. That's why I like you.
I did call you, and next thing, you're shutting me up, and you're blaming it from the day I won the Indian and Christopher Colombo on my shoulder. So that doesn't fit. I mean, just because I'm from United States. We need to talk about serious things to heal the war. The war needs good, peaceful people.
Yeah.
If everybody violent, like, you know, my heart bleed for the Bahrain young kids. No doubt about that. George, I born Middle East, okay?
My really? Whereabouts?
I'm just telling you, I born Middle East in Syria. My heart bleed to everybody in Middle East because this is the land of the Holy Land and holy people. I'm not trying to be hypocrite and denying their right. In Middle East people, they have right, but say we have to know one thing. This good people, Middle East people, they are really against those kind of things. But those the one bandit you know, people, the one they go make a violent and trouble and steal and adultery and all evil thing. Those the people always making trouble. So let's not mix orange with apple. So we need to speak for their right. We need to protect them. We need to know what we're gonna do. But if their family is against us and their sheikh or their church, they against, you know, us, the society, good society, how are we gonna build a society?
Well, George, listen, good points. But what do you think about Mrs. Clinton facilitating Al Qaeda to invade your country of Syria, your original country of Syria? Are you with that?
No, I'm not with that. No doubt about that. I don't want nobody attack somebody else's right. But about time, Syria, you know, I love Syria. I know Assad personally. I know his father personally. Okay, and they wonderful people in person. Okay, I like all the Alawi people, but the point is, they had a law over there since 63. They put a law about the protesting, and then I personally don't even know the Kurdish have no right to be citizen. I didn't know that. I just heard that on TV. So he got.
No, that's not true. The Kurdish are citizens. The Kurdish are citizens, and moreover,
they are citizens. Yeah, he just made them citizens. Okay, so what
I don't think that's right either. But George, Mrs. Clinton is, according to the New York Times this week,
Al Qaeda
people are being oriented by the United States now.
Yeah, Al Qaeda, they jump on every weak camel. When the camel go down, and then they get their machetes and start chopping up. Qaeda is not a legit organization.
Just seems strange to me that the U.S. government, after what they suffered on 9/11 and the thousands of people who were murdered by Al Qaeda, would now be their allies in Syria.
We don't like Al Qaeda, Al Fatah, Al Ghaz, this and that, and Munazama, all those nonsense things. You know, that's you cannot have a two law in one country. And the government, we have to deal with government, legit government. Like if we're gonna deal with Iran, we're gonna deal with legit government of Iran or Syria or Afghanistan. When they come into those weak countries and they making country in the country. So that's ridiculous, you know. So you don't know who you're going to deal with. You want to deal with Al-Qaeda or you want to deal with the president. So we cannot afford, the Middle East people have to stand up and say no to terrorists. No.
Well, Russia actually has just accused the United States of facilitating terrorism in Syria. And no one could, in truth, disagree with that. George, great to hear from you again. Welcome back. Let's go to the United Kingdom, talk to Farouk on the subject of Bahrain. Farouk, welcome to the show.
Back to you. George, it's to do with this prince that actually, you know...
so-called Prince Nasser, yeah.
Well, you know, how can the British government allow such a person to come in this country on the spirit of the Olympic, you know, where human beings comes together and on a peaceful ground, you know, they actually compete with the best of intention. How can such a person be allowed to come in this country?
Well, it's extraordinary to me, but the double standard is so brazen. The Zimbabwe Olympian chiefs are banned. The Syrian Olympic chief is banned. The Bahraini Olympic chief, who is personally accused of torture of athletes, is apparently welcome. What's that about?
Exactly. I mean, how low can we stoop in the sense that, you know, when...
pretty low, Farouk, I'm afraid to tell you.
You know, when you think, you know, the countries like, say, for example, for Iran, they want justice and peace and you know, real sort of on the level talk. And they are casted as terrorists or, you know, whatever nation they put their names to it. And the world gone crazy. We've gone crazy, I think.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Farouk, we're becoming a banana republic, but without the benefit of the weather or the bananas. Here's Jamal in the U.S. wants to talk about the shooting in the USA in Anaheim. Jamal, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George.
Go ahead.
You know, I wanted to talk about the shooting in Anaheim. You know, there's a similar topic that I called in previously, and that was in Oakland, and I called the United States a police state, and you disagreed with it, and you kind of cut me off, and I didn't really want to, you know, I couldn't explain myself.
Go ahead. The floor is yours.
It's not a police state in you know, the traditional sense. There are probably worse things that happen in police states and other places in the world. But America has a very authoritarian society. We look up to authorities like police and government. I think much more than I think my impression in Europe or Britain. I'll give you an example in Irvine. I mean, in Anaheim, it's the same county as Irvine, and you remember the Irvine 11, who were charged with
some of them were friends of mine.
Criminal charges for heckling the Israeli ambassador. I mean, this is crazy. It's a free speech issue, and I look at it, say in Britain, heckling government officials is a sort of a fine
art. It's a duty.
Yeah.
It ought to be a duty. It ought to be a duty.
Yeah, it should be a duty. You're right. I mean, it's a very, very important part of free speech. But in America, you get criminally prosecuted for it, you know, especially if it's on something, you know, like, you know, standing up for Palestinians. But, you know, so the police in Anaheim are, you know, it's, you know, the happiest Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. It happens to be, you know, if you step out of line, you know, it was you'll see what happens.
Or in fact, in the case of this youth, he didn't even step out of line. He just happened to be in an alleyway, unarmed, and now he's dead.
Yeah, it's crazy, and people, Americans will side with the police, you know, and that's. I don't understand it quite, because I talked to, I talked to my friends about it, and a lot of them, you know, they come out and stand for the police. I mean, I'll give you another example. Last week I talked about this action against Veolia in where we live in Sonoma County.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we tried to get Veolia to, we tried to get a Human Rights Commission to, recommend not renewing the contract. Well, they cited, you know, it was actually kind of successful, but they ended up siding with, you know, the federal government, and they had these lawyers come in who were, they were, you know, citing federal laws and stuff. And it's just, it's very difficult to get people to, you know, view, to change anything or have a different view that's counter to these authority figures.
Well, it's very difficult, Jamal. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it, except thee and me. We are determined to keep doing it, however difficult it is, because we know that it's our duty to do so. We can count a success if we hold a line and aren't driven further back, and an even greater success if we take some steps forward. In any case, Jamal, on the judgment day, we all have to answer to a very important authority, the authority over everything and all the worlds. Thanks, Jamal, for that. Let's talk to Myron in Zagreb about the Olympics. I'm not sure I've ever spoken to anyone in Zagreb on the show. Myron, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
First time caller from Zagreb. Go ahead.
I didn't quite catch the last words you said, but it's probably what I'm going to talk about.
Go on.
Well, it's Bahrain, and I support you fully on the Princey, the nice Princey who better not go to London.
Yeah, well, I'm looking for him. Maybe he wants to meet me.
Go.
I don't know, but
not go.
I'm going to arrest him if I see him.
Of course, if he goes to London, then all people of goodwill, Anglicans, Catholics, Muslims, please support George Galloway and go and fetch that Princey and deport him back.
Yeah, well, I'm going to make a citizen's arrest, which is my right.
Correct.
Which is my right.
Yes.
Because he is suspected, credibly, and with a prima facie case, which has persuaded me as a 25-year member of the British Parliament, that there is a prima facie case that he has personally been involved in torture. and an indisputable right. case that he is a key part of the machinery of torture and murder and theft in Bahrain. So
right.
if he comes here, we're going to hunt him down, believe me.
Right. I hope so. I certainly hope so, and I pray to God that you do so.
Thank you, Myron. The first ever call, I think, on comment from Zagreb in the former Yugoslavia of fond memory, at least my fond memory. We're talking about the Olympics. We're talking about Bahrain, not just in relation to the Olympics, but certainly with the imminent arrival of Princey. Well, we have to link the two issues. The crushing of democracy in Bahrain, with the aid and assistance and absolute complicity, dripping in blood complicity, of Britain and the United States and the neighboring dictatorship of so-called Saudi Arabia. We're talking about the massacres of the Muslim people in Burma, what they now call Myanmar, where thousands of the Rohingya people, Muslim people, in Burma have been massacred. They're being driven literally into the sea. When they reach Bangladesh waters, they're being sent back because Bangladesh can't afford to take any refugees. And nobody in the world has raised even their voice, let alone a finger, to stop it happening. We're asking why. But Andrew in London, he's on the phone. He wants to talk about the Olympics. Andrew, welcome. Andrew, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello.
Yes, Andrew, you're on the air.
Yeah, okay. You know, this is your subject, actually. The security, all these securities are not for terrorists. Actually, all these securities are for, against Muslims. And you might have heard people saying it's normal now, press, TV, everywhere. Muslim terrorist, Islamic terrorist. If a Muslim has committed terrorism, then you tell him that you are Muslim terrorist, not all the Muslims. So all these security arrangements, it all came from the you know, war criminal, you know who I'm talking about, who spent so much money in 2007 in militarizing the whole air, you know, airport and so on. Now that idea has been carried forward by Mr. Cameron. I thought Mr. Cameron was a responsible person, but he proved not to be. And all these are against the Muslim, actually. All the securities are against Muslim. Men, Muslim people living in Britain have been demonized and nothing else. I'm going to write articles about jihad generation, about Islamic terrorists, about Muslim. And these terms, as you know, these are slanderous terms. You know, we have got right of action against those people. These are slanderous terms. I don't know when I can write. My eyesight is a little poor, but I will write.
And well, you can always talk.
As soon as
you can always talk into a tape recorder, get someone to transcribe it. Andrew, in London, on the Olympic security situation, it's undoubtedly true that you've got more chance of winning the gold medal in the 100 meters dash than you do of getting through East London looking like a Muslim, without any attention from the 17,000 soldiers on the streets of East London and the tens of thousands of other security personnel. Of course, terrorism is a real and present danger, and we must pray that it is not visited upon London as it was on 7/7/2005, because that turned out to be a catastrophe for everybody, not just the 55 people who were cruelly murdered, the hundreds who were viciously maimed, but indeed all the Muslims and all the civil liberties of all the people in the United Kingdom. So pray to God that that does not happen. If it does happen, it won't be for the lack of security, but it might have something to do with the failures of G4S. They're the company that were paid 300 million taxpayer pound to protect the Olympic Games, only to discover at the 11th hour that they were unable to do so. And who's one of the rulers of that company? Who's one of the people running that company? Somebody called Dr. John Reed. now Lord Reed, formerly John Reed, MP, formerly the British war leader, who sent the British forces into the south of Afghanistan, hoping that not a shot would be fired by them. A million shots later, and hundreds of dead soldiers later, who knows how many hundreds dead Afghans later, he's now running and failing the people of Britain as one of the bosses of G4S. You couldn't make it up. God willing, I'll be back right after the news with the second half of Comment. I promise you, you don't want to miss it.